Our passage today is John 14, verses 12 through 31, and encourage you to follow along in your Bibles or the Pew Bibles. But let's again come before God in prayer. Lord, we do come asking for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might understand your word and we might apply it to our lives. We come dependent upon your spirit, and we come seeking to know more of our Lord Jesus and of the deep love that is shown through him. And we ask this in his name. Amen. This is the same passage that we looked at last week. So this is part two of Jesus saying that I will ask the Father and he will send another helper. So we looked at another helper who brought peace last week. And we saw the spiritual union that we have with God the Father and God the Son. We saw the love that is there between the Father and the Son is what is given to us. And then lastly, the peace of Christ. Jesus said, I leave my peace, not as the world has, but my peace. And in the context of the passage, we see that the peace that he's leaving is the Holy Spirit. Today, we find our focus looking at truth. The Spirit of truth is how he identifies the Holy Spirit at first here. And in John's writings, so whether we're in the Gospel of John or in one of the three letters or in the book of Revelation, we see John emphasizes truth and love. And for John, those two things are inseparable. You simply cannot say you have truth and then live without love. Or you can't say, I have love and just don't care about truth. The two come together. The fullness of truth means that we're going to seek love. And if we truly love God, we want his truth and just not embrace anything that is out there. So we come now to look at this passage again and find our emphasis in truth. Jesus is speaking and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Just pause there for a moment. It's just important for us to not just read the words about he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. It's not enough just to read those words. I want us to really feel them. So just right now, just know and feel that the Father and the Son love you deeply. Okay. Now, verse 22 says, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Well, we begin here by looking first at the call that we have from Jesus to do the works that he does. So he says in verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. So we are called to do the works that Jesus does. And we see at the beginning of this passage that it comes out of belief or faith or trust. The same word that there is translated as believes is then elsewhere translated as faith or trust. It's just the same word in the Greek. So the belief is not just with our mind, it's with our hearts. It's trusting in Jesus, in who he is, the integrity of his word, in who he is as being the Son of God. So we're trusting in that, and when we do that, when we trust in Jesus, believe in who he is, we will do the works that he does. So that's foundational for us, for everything that is here. And then Jesus says that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. So what's the relationship between having faith in Jesus and doing the works and loving Jesus and doing his commands? And I think what Jesus is saying is that it's really the same thing. When we believe him, when we trust him, we put our hope in him, we are loving him. And therefore, when we talk about faith, it's not in principles, it's in a person. And people, and even God, we refer to the personhood of God, we love. And so what is required of us is to love God. And we do that by our faith, our trusting in him. So we have faith, and because of that, we're able to do the works that Jesus does, which means that we're loving him so we can obey his commandments. So believing and loving Jesus are very much connected. So we see the connection here in John. Believing is not merely believing just truths, but it is also believing in truths. It's not negating them. It's not, as some people will say, in some other churches that have what we would call a liberal or progressive theology, they would say, I put my trust in Jesus, in the person of Jesus, and not in just the things that are said here in Scripture. But we're just called to have faith in Jesus. But see, there's more than that. Because it's, how do we have faith in Jesus? We're trusting in his words, his commands that he has given. And the command that he gave in chapter 13, just before this, which is just moments before in his speaking with the disciples, was, I give you a new command, that you love one another. I give you a new command, a new truth, or a truth that is now being fully explained, that you love. So we have a connection here between truth and love. You can't have one without the other. And for John, I think the older that he got, the more he reflected upon Jesus and God's love and truth, that the more that John, in his writings, more than anybody else, is just very clear-cut. There is truth, there is falsehood. There is love, there is hatred. And so we want to be people who really key in to truth and to love. Now, there's something important for us as we look at this, where Jesus says, by believing in me, that you will do the works that I do, and you'll do greater works. Sometimes we pause at that and we say, well, we're going to do these works, but I thought we're saved by faith and by God's grace. And that's true, because we already see right here, whoever has faith, whoever believes in me, whoever trusts. And so right there is the trusting. But throughout Scripture, from beginning to end, including Jesus' teachings, is that we're commanded to do good works. But these good works arise out of faith, not out of ourselves, not out of what we're able to muster, so that we can therefore by that say, God, I have done these great things. I deserve to be in heaven. The works that we do are always filled with faith, which means a sense of humility. So in the end, we say, God, what I've done because of your power working within me. It is of your grace. And that's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, he talks about remembering before God our Father. That's what I use for prayer of confession. Your work of faith and your labor of love and your steadfastness of hope in Jesus Christ. Our works, our labor, our steadfastness, where do they arise from? They arise from our faith in Christ, our hope in him. So these commands that we do, these good works, are the things that arise out of our faith in Jesus. Then Jesus says a surprising thing. He says, greater works than what he is doing, we will do. He says, because I am going to the Father. How can we do greater works than Jesus, the Son of God? And so we puzzle over that. And there's probably a lot of different answers that could be given, but here's what I think is happening here. Jesus says, I'm going to the Father. In other words, he is not going to be present physically to do the works that he was doing beforehand. But he's telling his disciples, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be able, through the power of the Holy Spirit at work, you're going to be able to do these works, and there's more of you as you share the good news of Jesus Christ. And there's more and more believers who are doing these works of faith and labor of love, then it is greater things that are being done, this collective greater. But it's all being done through God's activity within us through the Holy Spirit. So greater works are we able to do. See, again, that's one of the witnesses to the power of the church. We are connected to one another. Just kind of in an unrelated way, Peggy and I on the way to church were talking about the importance of being connected to a church. And I actually was kind of had a born-again experience to come back into the church after, you know, revitalizing my faith, but reaching a point of crisis, realizing that what was missing was the fellowship of believers and working together, laboring side by side for the sake of Christ. And so I think the seed form of that is here. Greater works than these will you do. And we do them collectively. So we need each other. Then Jesus says something here, verse 13 and then 14 also. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, we could read this, and if we just wanted to take every word literal in the Bible, we could get ourselves into big trouble, because we know that every word is not meant to be taken literally. There's poetry, there is imagery, and so we look at these, we want to ask the question, is Jesus really wanting us to believe that all we have to do is just ask for something and just say, in the name of Jesus, and it's going to take place? Back when I was in seminary, I took a class in Hebrew one summer, and it's an intensive course. So it's 1 year in about 2.5 months. And we had times in the class where the tension was so great, because you're moving at a fast pace, and right before you have an exam, we'd be telling jokes to each other, doing things just to create laughter, to break the tension. And one of the things that I did is kind of my impersonation of some of the televangelists. And so I don't do that very often. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to persons, but some televangelists are very good and bring truth. There's some that are very false. And one of the false teachings that is there is this idea that if you have faith, you can do anything and everything, and God will give you all the things you ask for. If it doesn't happen, it's because you didn't have enough faith, which puts a lot of guilt and burden on people. I just didn't have enough faith. But they'll be there saying, all you have to do is just say, you know, in Jesus' name, I will ask for that in Jesus' name, and it becomes true. And that's not what Jesus is saying here. It is not a magical incantation. It is not just a carte blanche promise that anything you ask for. And you say, well, wait a minute, what if I'm asking for good things? What if I'm asking for spiritual things? And there's a qualifier in here. When he says, in my name, there is something very specific that's going on there. See, when we ask for something in the name of God, or in the name of Jesus, we're saying that it is in the character of that person. It is in the will of that person. So we are saying that in Jesus' name, we will do it, something that is in his character, something that brings honor to him, something that's in his will. Now, we're still not completely resolved in this, because we can say, well, wait a minute, I'm praying for good things for other people. I'm praying for healings. Doesn't God want that? I'm praying for family and friends and neighbors to come to the Lord, to give their hearts to him, and certainly God wants that, and he does. Praying for good things. But again, there's something else at work here. You see, it always comes back to what is the specific will of God, not just the general will of God. And God's specific will is things that we don't always know. And in the end, it is what glorifies God. So, he says here, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When we come and we pray in Jesus' name, we really are coming and saying, if it is your will be done. Part of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? And God's will is a mystery. And so we look at this, these words of Jesus, and we say, whatever you ask in my name, we're going to say, when we're asking it and it fits into God's will and we're willing to yield to it. And that's why Jesus is saying to ask, because in the asking, we are yielding to God's will. We come down to verse 17. Where just before that, Jesus says, I'll ask the Father and he'll give another helper, even the Spirit of truth. And then he gives to us this teaching. And in the notes here, I have it separated out, and there's little arrows. And this is a device that writers back then would use. And sometimes writers today use it. But there's... He says, first of all, the world cannot receive him for the Holy Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he dwells with you and in you. So there is a structure here. It goes, the world cannot receive. And then at the very end, it's you receive. He dwells with you and in you. So we have kind of an opposition here. The world, what they is happening with them, and then what's happening with believers. And then inside of that are the reasons why. And so we begin with, why can't the world see the Spirit or know him? Well, first of all, nobody can see the Spirit. But why does the world not know or understand the things of the Holy Spirit? Or just brush them off as just, who cares? They don't matter. They don't know him because it takes something special of God's grace to know the Holy Spirit. We must be born again. That's where we go back to John 3. We must be born again, must be born of the Spirit to understand the Spirit, for the Spirit to work within us, to dwell within us, so that we know intimately the Holy Spirit. So the world can neither see him or know him because they're not born of the Spirit. When we are born of the Spirit becomes important to us. There is an intimacy with God, and we understand that he dwells with us and in us. We cannot live the Christian life. We cannot do the works of faith or the labors of love outside of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And outside of that, all work and labor loses its significance before God. It is nothing. And so we want to, as believers, very much pay attention to the Spirit and the Spirit of truth that is within us. Because there is a difference between not knowing and knowing. So what are some of the things about knowing that are important with the Spirit? We look at verse 20, and Jesus says that you'll see me no more, but in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. How do we know that? It's because he said, I'm giving the Helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to help us understand more about the Father and the Son. This unity and our union with God, there is something very precious there. In that day, you will know this truth that I, Jesus, am in my Father, and you in Jesus, and Jesus in you. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who applies that into our lives, so that we know that we have this union with God, Father, the Son, and now the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Come down to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and that's key, in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. See, he's coming in the name of Jesus because the Spirit of truth is going to come and to help bring to remembrance all that Jesus had said to the disciples. And that's why we have the New Testament. We have the truth that comes, and it comes through the Holy Spirit's, the inspiration of the Spirit to the disciples, and the Spirit continues to reveal truth to us. So this truth teaching us what? Just general things about God? No, something very specific. And that's why we are called Christians. He is teaching us the things about Christ, the things about Jesus. That's what Jesus said. He will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So it's in, and he's going to come in my name. So it's very specifically, the Spirit is testifying about the majesty, the greatness, the beauty, the truth of Jesus. And he will bring to remembrance. And here's the thing. Here's what the Spirit brings to us. Not a new revelation. That ended with the apostles, so we can't add anything to our Bibles. But he'll bring to remembrance the things that we need when we need them. Now, Jesus told his disciples, you're going to be brought up before governors and kings, but don't worry. Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say in that time. Here is more of a general. Just he'll bring to remembrance. Now, this is good news for those of us who have bad memories. And I'm one of those who has a horrible memory. I forget things faster than I learn them. We can read Scripture. We remember some things. And we can try to memorize verses, and hopefully we're remembering a few of those. But we remember the generalities, don't we? And through our prayers, we're asking God to help us in our prayers and to remember the things of Jesus. The Spirit testifies to us, helps us to understand what sin and righteousness are. When we need it, the Spirit brings to our memories the things that move us in the right direction, correct us when we're going in the wrong way. And at the oddest times, remembering a promise that we need at that time, or perhaps a word of comfort. We might not be able to quote it exactly, but be able to say, you know, Jesus said, and to be able to share it with someone who is in need. And when we're struggling to remember some things, we come back to this and remember that Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, even the Spirit of truth. And this Spirit of truth, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We pray for that. And we believe that the Spirit will help us to remember and to apply it to our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to help us, for we desperately need help each day. To help us to know truth, to help us to have faith, to help us to love. And so we ask that you would continue to do that and guide us. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.